The Health Fix Podcast teaches you how to take charge of your health naturally by giving you the information you need to elevate your health.
Hey there, health junkies. On today's episode, I'm talking with Corey Janke. He's a retail pharmacist and man on a mission to help prevent professional burnout through his podcast and website, The Successful Thinker. Corey's going to show us how to change your thoughts and how that changes your life. So let me share a little bit about my sponsor and we'll get on with the podcast.
Hey, health junkies, want to tell you a little bit about one of my sponsors for the podcast, the High Country Lodge in Breckenridge, Colorado. It is a lodge that can host up to 40 people. They have a beautiful deck that has a great view of multiple mountains, and it has a lovely fireplace where you can cozy up after a day of skiing at Breckenridge. It's not right on the mountain, but you know what? You don't have to be. This place is just beautiful on its own. It's a couple minutes from the mountain, couple minutes to town, and you have access to multiple trails. You can mountain bike, you can ski, you can snowshoe from this location. It's great for year-round recreation. I highly recommend checking out the High Country Lodge. So go to ahighcountrylodge.com and book your next retreat, wedding, just getaway, family reunion. It's a great place for multiple things, and I highly recommend it. Go check it out.
Hello there, health junkies. Welcome to another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause, and on this episode, I have Corey Janke with me. He's a pharmacist, and he's also the host of the Successful Thinker podcast and platform, where he provides simple solutions to leadership and lifestyle that have professionals feeling stuck in their lives, in their careers. He's kind of like a savior in some cases because he's helping us to get out of our heads, help us to change our thoughts, and we're going to be talking all about that, how we can be able to find that nice balance between just getting what we want in life and not burning ourselves out. So Corey, welcome to the Health Fix podcast.
Oh, I am so excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me. We're going to have a great time today.
Now, you and I have something in common. We were talking about Wisconsin, and I just came back, and you are up in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, and you are currently working as a pharmacist in the trenches, which I love to talk to folks who are still working in the trenches, because this helps us to really, you know, concretely speak on what we deal with on a daily basis, but how we're thriving, because there's so many people that are struggling in the corporate world and in the healthcare industry in particular, who are crying every week, you know, just because what our demands and how we're thinking about things, it just really brings us down. So would you mind telling us a little bit about how you started the Successful Thinker platform and podcast, and what brought you to helping others?
Oh, absolutely. And I appreciate you asking. So in 1990, I got out of pharmacy school, and I was working in Eau Claire, like you mentioned. And I walked into this really super busy pharmacy on my first day. And they said, look, we're too busy to train you. So here's what we want you to do. You stand at the window and you counsel customers all day. And so I said, okay, fine, I will. And so I stood there for 8 or 9 hours going, Janine, take this with food. Janine, take this on an empty stomach. Janine, don't take this one with that one. And I lived walking distance from the store, and I'll never forget it, because on the walk home, I was like, man, if I got to stand there and do this for 40 years, I need to go back to school and do something else. But I didn't have any money or really any desire to do anything else. So I thought something else. I thought, what if I did this a little different tomorrow? So I walk in tomorrow, same story. We're too busy to train you. You go to the window, you counsel customers all day. And, you know, maybe on the weekend, we'll have time to show you how to actually work our computer and everything else. So that day, it was funny. This guy walks up and he's got this huge cast on his leg. So I looked at him and I said, dude, what did you do to your leg? And he's like, oh my God. So I got one foot on the dock and I got one foot on the boat, and they start separating. Before I know it, I'm face first in the water. My wife and my son are laughing at me. Right. The next lady walks in. She's got these cool earrings. I said, ma'am, I got to tell you, these are the coolest earrings I've ever seen. And so she's telling me the story about the earrings. So to make a long story short, I began to develop relationships with people by asking them about their lives. And as I found out that that was really popular, you know, we call it relationship marketing now, but back then it was just asking questions, right? Mm-hmm. I began to look at people like yourself and I began to say things like, you know, Janine, you look really successful to me. Can you share with me what's made you so successful or so happy all the time? And then she would share. And then another person would come in and I would say, you know, why are you so down today? What's going on? I just get this vibe from you that you're not feeling well. Oh man, this happened and so forth. And I began to understand that all of a sudden you realize that some people in this world are out there just killing it. But most people are out there getting killed. Mm-hmm. And what you see, if you look at it long enough, is that there are similarities between the people that are killing it and the people that are getting killed. And it became like this need in me to try to share and take what Janine knew that, say, Ken with the broken leg didn't know and share it. And then, you know, that was a really great idea. But one thing happened that I didn't expect is along the way, I kind of forgot. You know, you get busier and busier. Your life starts picking up. You get a wife, you get a child, you get all these bills, you get things going on. You're building onto your house. You're doing all these things. And one day you wake up and your heart rate is in the 100s and you can't get it down. Your blood pressure is like 160 over 110. And what's really weird is you're a marathon runner. And you are so stressed and so anxious that you can't control your own thoughts. And the only thought that keeps coming back and forth in your mind is, I don't want to go through this anymore. I don't want to live anymore. Mm-hmm. You don't necessarily want to kill yourself, but you're looking out of your life going, man, how am I supposed to do this for 20 or 30 more years? In specific, there was a boss that I had gotten. I was working for Walmart at the time, and they always change district managers every so often because they reassign them, they redistrict them. And the guy I got was only concerned about numbers. Mm. He didn't care that all the information that my customers had shared with me over the years had made me extremely successful. In fact, the year prior, I was Walmart Pharmacist of the Year for my entire district. Wow. Not because of anything that I really did, but because of the things that my customers had taught me and this relationship marketing thing that we were doing. And at some point, I was shaking and I was anxious. And it was so weird because I had never done that before. And at some point, I wasn't taking care of myself and I couldn't sleep. That was the thing that was really, really hard. As 6-7 days had gone by and I had maybe gotten 3 hours of sleep a night. And what I recognized at a very lucky moment in my life. It was a very much a God moment. I walked into my 5-year-old's bedroom and I remember it because I had cried earlier that night because this guy wanted me to fire two people. He wanted me to fire 2 full-time staff because he wanted the budget to look better. We were struggling at work as it was getting the customers in and out the door. And I looked at my 5-year-old and all of a sudden it hit me. Do you really want this beautiful boy to grow up without a father over some stupid job? Mm-hmm. And I remember stumbling out to the living room. It's like 2:30 in the morning and there was this big oversized chair and I just kind of fell in it. And I just kind of looked around at my house and I recognized something, that it's just a pile of sticks and drywall. And I recognized that what was going on inside of me was this incredible, all-consuming fear that I might lose everything. Mm-hmm. And I started to ask myself, how do I find my way out of this hole? If I'm going to help this little boy grow up with a father, how do I find my way out of this hole? And I was lucky because this thought came into me. This guy that wanted me to fire 2 people, he kept saying, Corey, you're just going to have to learn how to do more with less. You're just going to have to learn how to do more with less. And I was aching because I knew that there's no way to learn how to do more with less. And then I had a thought, a life-changing moment. What if I learned how to do more by becoming more? And what if I could teach other people to do the same thing? So that night, I made myself a promise. That night, effectively, in my mind, I killed myself. Now I had a new place to start. So what if I died yesterday? Where would I start today? What would I start knowing what I now know? And I picked up my notes and I started looking at the things that the customers who were successful told me, and one of which was to read books. And I started looking back over the books and I started doing the things that I had learned. And before long, I recognized that 99% of what was going wrong in my life was what was going wrong in my thoughts. And I recognized that it's not our life that's killing us. It's the way we think about our life that's killing us. Mm. Does that make sense to you?
Oh my goodness, does it make sense? Yes, I can resonate on so many different levels. And especially in the sense of what we think, because I will have a lot of folks, even including myself, sometimes you just get down this like negative spiral and you just go and go and you can't seem to bring yourself out of it, which brings me to one of my big questions, you know, which a lot of people will come in and I'm curious as to how you work with your clients on this. A lot of people will be like, I don't even know where to start to change my thoughts. I don't even know where to begin to, as you said, kill my old self and start reinventing my new self. Where do I even begin? So I pose to you, Corey, where do folks begin?
Okay, and that's a great question, because one of the things that people really have a bad habit of doing when they see successful people like yourself is they go, well, Janine's got it all together. She's just lucky. Corey's got it all together. And as a pharmacist, one of the things I can tell you, I've been a pharmacist for 30 years. As you said, I'm still a pharmacist. At one point, I kind of did some basic math and I figured out that I filled somewhere around 3 million prescriptions in my life. And what I've learned is that nearly everybody is a mess. Almost everybody is struggling with something, right? So one of the things you got to do if you want to really get healthy is you have to ask yourself two questions. Number one is, am I willing to give myself the space to forgive myself for struggling, right? Because we always think that somehow, some way, we were supposed to be born with all the answers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what successful people will tell you is that the graph of failure to success is not a straight line that goes straight up. It's like a squiggle. And a lot of times, if they make it out at all, they make it out in places they never thought they would. So recognize that there's nothing wrong with you for struggling. There's nothing wrong with you for being stressed out. There's nothing wrong with you for being anxious. But then number two, most people have never stopped to ask themselves this question. What was it that I wanted in the first place? Why in the heck am I even a pharmacist or an acupuncturist or a holistic doctor? Why am I even here?
Mm-hmm.
What was it that I wanted to do in the first place? And so what I recommend is the thing that really turned my life around is two things. So the first thing I did is I picked up a notebook and I drove about 60 miles away from my house. And I sat down with this notebook and started asking myself some questions. Like, if you won $1 million tax-free, if money was no object, what would you do tomorrow? Mm-hmm. And if the answer isn't, I would go back to where I work and you know, feel free, then maybe you want to ask yourself, am I doing the right thing for me? And I started doing that. And the other thing that I did is I went into a bookstore that was called BAM at the time. And I just was wandering around kind of aimlessly. When you're looking for answers, you wander around. And I found a copy of something called Success Magazine. And I said, well, I want to be a success. Right now, I'm a total failure. I feel like my life's in the toilet. This might be a good place to start. And what was interesting is inside of Success Magazine, there was a CD. And the publisher, Darren Hardy, was interviewing a guy called Brian Tracy. Put the CD in the car, back when there was such a thing as CD players in your car, and listen to it on the way home. And Brian Tracy said something very interesting. He said that most people have their E to E ratio screwed up. So he said for most people, they spend 50 hours on entertainment for every 1 hour they spend on education. He said, if you could move that from 50 to 1 down to 5 to 1, what would your life look like then? So I thought, wow, I could even change it to 1 to 1. So for every hour I binge watch on Netflix, I forced myself to read 1 hour in a book that was going to help me. The other thing is, I want to make this really clear, because this is the major, major thing that will turn your life around, is I said you have to be able to do more by becoming more. So what does that mean? To me, that meant that I had to stop trying to do everything myself. I had to stop trying to handle everything I was responsible for, and I had to enlist other people, the people that, say, worked with me, around me. I had to enlist my family members. I had to enlist sometimes a guy I hired to mow my lawn to create this sort of bigger version of myself. So I looked at my life, or I started looking at my life as a football team, right? The quarterback always gets the credit, but without the blockers, he's going to get crushed, right? No matter how much he scores, without the defense, they're still going to lose. So I started thinking of myself as a quarterback of my life team. And I started looking at how could I motivate the people around me to want to help me? And that's where the successful thinker was born. The successful thinker was born for two reasons. Number one is it had to change my own mindset. So see, when I'm posting on Facebook or Twitter or LinkedIn and I'm trying to motivate you, I'm really talking to myself. Hey, don't forget the following things are important. Because I think the thing that happens is, you kind of alluded to it, we end up in these funnels because somehow or another, we just forgot to do those things that make us the best version of ourselves today. Wouldn't you say?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I feel like it's almost hard. You almost, when you get stuck in that downward spiral, those thoughts just have you spinning to the point where you don't even remember who you are. And you're not even connected to your purpose or anything at that point. You're just on survival mode, it seems like.
Absolutely. And then so one of the things that happened that really turned my life on an incredible, incredible drift upwards was interviewing people that were getting results, right? And so one of the people that I talked to on my podcast, she changed everything in one sentence. She said, what most people forget to do is ask themselves, what state am I in right now? And I said, well, what does that mean? And she said, well, like, look, you and your spouse, you're kind of like all involved in this thing, right? But neither one of you have stopped to ask, is this a good time for us to be discussing money? What have I eaten today? What have I drank today? Am I fully hydrated? Did I sleep well last night? What else am I stressing about? So you see, what's happening is, like at the pharmacy is a really good example. One day, this was like a week after the podcast, I was really tensing up. It was about 2:30, 3 o'clock. I was just starting to get really tense. You could feel it in your neck. You could feel that those two bones behind your head. And I was thinking, man, the next customer that comes in and says something stupid, I'm going to say something stupid back, right? And I looked over and I had this giant water bottle and it was completely full. It was 2:30. I hadn't eaten at all. And to my memories, I hadn't gone to the bathroom since I walked in at 8:30.
Oh boy.
So I remember that podcast. So I said, okay, let's try this. So I said, Candace, that's my technician. She does so many things for me. She's wonderful. I said, I'm going to the office. That's our code for the bathroom. I took a rag. I went to the bathroom. I washed my face, went to the bathroom. I grabbed my water bottle, drank about half of it down, and I ate about a sandwich and a half, just quickly, right? And it was amazing because like 35, 40 minutes later, I felt like $1 million. How often in your life are you trying to run on empty but expect a full tank performance?
Oh my goodness. That's a huge point. I think a lot of people don't realize how their habits, like hydration, something very simple, or even food. I find a lot of people are skipping lunches, especially in corporate America. They're skipping lunches to get work done, or they're eating so fast at their desk, they forget to get up and go get water or something of that nature. I think it's super common and something that we do need to be paying attention to.
Absolutely. And I would argue this, especially with all the research I've done and all the connections that I've made since we started The Successful Thinker. Healthcare workers, anybody associated with any kind of healthcare, seems to me to be the first people to take care of themselves last. And adequate self-care seems to be the first thing we check off our list. Yeah. And now that I think about it, I want to share something that happened the other day. So I was telling you before the interview that my publisher has started really connecting me with lots of healthcare professionals on LinkedIn. And so I get all these LinkedIn messages and all these connections. And many people will say this, well, between work and the three kids, I don't have time to take care of anything, especially anything related to myself, right? Something you've heard before, I'm guessing.
Oh, countless numbers of times. Yes, absolutely.
So here's what I say. I say, you know what? I'm going to say a prayer for you tonight so that God comes to you and helps you figure out a way to take care of yourself so that you can be there for your family in the way that you want to be there for them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because here's the thing, Janine, you're here. You're here right now. This is not life on rehearsal. My first book was called We Are Not Here on Rehearsal. So if you think that the idea is to stick it out until your kids are in their 20s, and then maybe you'll take care of yourself, what's going to happen is you're going to miss it. One of the things at the pharmacy where I would ask people, I'd say, you know, how come you seem so successful? Almost always they would say, well, you know what? When my kids were growing up, I missed it. I totally freaking missed it. I was at the office. I was, you know, taking care of patients. I was in school. I was doing all this stuff. Somebody had to take care of the house. But now that my grandchildren are here, wow, I'm getting this second chance, right? And so my wife and I adopted a baby when he was 2 months old and I was 36. So I had been hearing that over and over and over. So I made sure that I always question my urgencies. A friend of mine named Penny, she does a Take Back Time platform. Penny Zanker is her name. And she says, always question your urgencies. So all these things that we think are so important that we won't remember in 5 years, really, are they? Are they more important than your health? When I was reading a book called No Excuses by Dr. Wayne Dyer, he said this. He said, if you can't make time to take care of your health for 1 hour a day, then you need to make time to be dead 24 hours a day.
Wow.
And that really hit me hard. Because I see it and I do it sometimes. I'm not going to lie. Even now, sometimes dinner is an ice cream cone on the way home from work.
Wow.
But I question myself every time that happens. And I promise myself, I'm going to do better tomorrow. But I think that most people would be better served if they ask themselves, is it really intelligent for me to cheat my family out of the best version of myself while I'm here right now? Because another thing that's happened, Janine, as a pharmacist and as a human being walking through this planet, is I could tell you at least 6 really tragic stories of someone who was completely and utterly ripped off of this world in the matter of a heartbeat. Someone crossed the center line because they fell asleep. Someone went running, and unfortunately, she stepped out in front of a car. So this business that we have of thinking that it can happen to the other guy and not me, that's what's killing us. And the successful thinker was born to ask us, to ask ourselves, is the way I think about my life the way my life really is? Or is this some story that I've created to tell myself that what I'm doing is really okay?
Hmm. So justification.
Well, this is what we do. I love the book that talks about how most people want to believe that's their thinking brain that runs their life. But it's really your emotional brain that runs your life, and your thinking brain then tries to justify your emotional brain's behavior. So when you get dehydrated, when you get hangry, a lot of people love to use the word hangry, and then you do something that your better self is ashamed of, your thinking brain then starts coming up with all these reasons for lousy behavior. The problem is that your emotional brain is not fooled, and that then gets suppressed and pushed down and turned into anxiety, worry, and guilt. And we're better than that. Absolutely. But to be better than that, we have to do something that I think is really interesting. I was listening to your latest episode at the time of this recording, And the lady was talking about meditation. And she was saying that a lot of people are scared to meditate because they're afraid that if they sit down for 5 minutes alone with their thoughts, some really ugly things are going to come up, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I loved the way she sort of created an alternative version of meditation, because I think it's what truly helped me to fix my life. So what I did when I was super anxious, super depressed, super high blood pressure, you know, was of course I went to the doctor and of course I got medication to bring it down. But then what I did is I turned off CNN in the morning and I put on a classical CD, like those nature CDs with the rain and the piano music. And I just sat there and I thought about my life and I thought about breathing and I thought about what's really important to me? What really makes my life matter? Because if you think about this, one of the books that one of my customers told me to read, it's been one of the most important books of my life. It's called The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People by Dr. Stephen Covey. Are you familiar with it?
I'm familiar with it. I did not read it, but I am familiar with it. Yes.
Okay, so one of the chief concepts in that book is begin with the end in mind. So actually ask yourself, Janine, and if you were one of my coaching clients, I'd make you answer this question. If you were sitting at your funeral, let's pretend you're a ghost and you're floating above your funeral and you're looking down and you're asking yourself, who's there in your imaginary funeral? What would you want them to be saying about you? So let's say you lived another 30, 40 years. What would you want the people at your funeral, not just to be saying and thinking about you, but feeling about you? What would you want your life to have been about? And all of a sudden, if you think about it, and then I said, Janine, now let's just suppose for argument's sake, 6 months from now, you're going to drop dead from cancer. You get a diagnosis today that you got maybe 6 months. What's the next thing you're going to do? Very few people would say, I'm going to go back to the office and finish up on a couple of reports, right?
Very few. Very few.
And so then all of a sudden, most people will bring up something like family or bucket list. Mm-hmm. We're all familiar with the bucket list, but we don't jump into the bucket before we kick it. And so when I think about coaching people and when I think about the people that I work with, suddenly what happened is I started feeling like, you know what I've done really poorly in my life? I haven't really thought of the people around me as people, right? So you have a dentist. You have a doctor, you have an insurance salesman, you have a pharmacy technician in my case, but is she a pharmacy technician or is she Janine? And when she becomes Janine, you're looking at her like I'm looking at you right now. We're doing this on video, which is really cool. So you're not just a podcast host. You're not just a healthcare provider. You were talking about you're somebody's daughter before mm-hmm. the podcast. Mm-hmm. I don't know what else there is in your life, but I guarantee you if you worked with me, I would know everything about you. And I would know what's really important to you. And I would know that if you really like to bowl on Wednesday nights, I would make sure that you got every Wednesday night off. And in return, you would say, you know what? This guy cares about me. This guy knows about me. To this guy, I am more than a number. And so then you would do those things to help me become a bigger version of myself. But the trick, and this is really important, I'm not giving you Wednesday nights off because I want you to do things for me. I'm giving you Wednesday night off because there's a joy that I get out of seeing you become the best version of yourself. Mm-hmm. And if you ever want to read a really good short story book that will really teach you how to treat other people, it's called The Go-Giver by Bob Berg and John David Mann. And it's a story about how people that are really successful in life put other people and the way they serve other people first and really stop keeping score And what they do then is they get this incredible feeling of personal power. Because if I can make you smile today, it doesn't really matter how much money I make. Because as you well know, no matter how much money I make today, 90% of it is gone before I get it.
True.
And anything I buy loses value as soon as I own it. Not just like in depreciation value. We always want what we don't have until we have it. But boy, when you can touch a person in their heart, all of a sudden you become 5 times healthier than you ever were before. How does that, how are your thoughts about that?
Oh my goodness. Yeah, I think a couple different things that you mentioned. The whole idea of keeping score and the I do this, you get that kind of, or, you know, kind of this like where we have this deal between each other or expecting something, you know, from someone when you treat them a certain way that never ends well when you have that mentality. It's really just, you know, treating someone the best you absolutely can. And that's the joy of, you know, for me, I think, you know, we're talking about books, the power of moments is kind of where I look at my position. I'm giving people moments in my office every single day to go forward in their life. And that's what brings me joy, is just kind of being the person who can get a smile, you know, on someone's face. Like you said, you know, it's there's so much value in that.
Oh, I love to hear that. But the interesting thing, and I want to make sure that this is clear, is that in order for me to do the things that bring me joy, I surround myself with people who would absolutely hate doing the things that bring me joy, but love doing the things that I hate.
True.
So I have this wonderful technician, and she's the best administrator you've ever seen. She's phenomenal at insurance. She's phenomenal at making sure all the reports are filled out on time and all the corporate compliance stuff, the stuff that I just can't stand. She writes the schedules and things like that. She's good with customers, and she likes people, but I don't think it brings her joy on a level that the administrative stuff does for her. Mm-hmm. And I doubt if it brings her joy on the level that it brings me joy. And so what's really weird is that for all the things that you love to do, other people hate to do them. And for all the things you suck at, there's somebody that's really good at. So if you're somebody who has spent their whole life being told that the thing you love to do is weird, or you shouldn't get joy out of doing an Excel spreadsheet, question yourself and ask yourself, who told you that? And what you will find is that 90% of the things that we believe are based on lies.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And you will find that successful thinkers begin to understand that they surround themselves with people that make them feel good and that build them up. Unsuccessful people surround themselves with people who make them feel bad. And what happens is that most people don't believe they have a choice of who they surround themselves with because of guilt, family, for instance. Some people have this belief that if Janine is family, you have to put up with the way she treats you. And I will argue that you may not want to alienate Janine, but you may want to limit the amount of time you spend with her, and you may want to explain to her the rules if she wants to stick around. One of the things we do very poorly as people is just have a nice conversation that says, Janine, here's the thing. You're my cousin. I love you. I respect you, but I can't hang around with you unless you change your behaviors. And this is what I need from you. And so if Janine chooses not to do that, she actually broke up with you. But if you don't tell her, right, if you just walk away, then yeah, you probably should feel a little guilty. And it's the same thing with someone who works for you. Now, recognizing the successful thinker, I believe that I work for my employees. I don't believe that anyone works for me. I believe that I work for my employees. I believe that I work for my supervisor. But the reality is there are people that report to you. Mm-hmm. And if you coach them, fire them, discipline them, before you've made it clear what their job entitles, what their expectations are, then you are wrong. But once you explain to people, okay, this is what I need from you. This is what the team needs from you. This is the rules for doing well around here. Now they start to fire themselves. Now they start to discipline themselves. And the reason I think it's important is so many people suffer and struggle with this internal guilt and conflicts that are mental constructs created by, well, you really shouldn't be, especially women, you really shouldn't be someone who stands up for themselves. You really are supposed to absorb. Mm-hmm. And I think that we've absorbed so much that we can barely take it anymore.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think this is something, you know, on the absorbing level, but also on the speak up for yourself, express your needs. I think this is something that women, like you said, in particular struggle with, especially in the workplace, and especially in terms of being able to interact with coworkers, interact with, you know, employers, things of that nature. And definitely in your Successful Thinkers platform, it sounds like you know, just from how you've been talking, that you have a lot of kind of team building work that you incorporate into your programs.
Well, the Successful Thinker is actually a story, and it's a story about Cynthia, who's a district manager that starts out in the book with a 39% employee approval rating. So her employees don't like her. And her boss, it starts out where she's at a review with her boss. And her boss is considering letting her go. She's a good person. She's a mother of three. She's a kind person. She wants to do well, but she just doesn't understand why people won't do what she tells them to do until she goes completely schizo and yells at them. So the boss decides to hook her up with a mentor to teach her what we call the 7 laws of 21st century leadership, which then we walk her through those 7 laws. So he teaches her a law, and then she goes home and practices one. And so I'll give you a for instance. So one of the laws is the law of the contribution, right? And it basically says that if you want employees to do well, you have to show them why they're important to your organization. You have to really help them do things and become things that make a difference in your world. And that came directly from a survey of women that we did. And we said, what would be something that is the most important part of your job? And 67% of the women said the ability to make a meaningful contribution. That was over salary. That was over who I work with. And I was confused by that. I'm a guy, I'm a dude. So I went to my job and I got all the women pharmacy techs together and I said, okay, this is what the women said. Can you guys help me figure out why that would be? And one of the technicians, a nice lady named Missy, said, Corey, it's the only thing that makes it worth the guilt of leaving your family at home is knowing that you're doing something that matters. Right? So when we taught Cynthia the law of the contribution, then what we did is we brought her home. And this is something that every woman has dealt with. And I just think it was so clever. So she is at the kitchen table. She's had a horrible work day. It's a long day. It's 8 o'clock at night. Her 5-year-old is going to have a birthday the next day. So she got to bake the stupid birthday cake before she goes to bed, right? Well, all of a sudden he's tugging on her skirt and he's like, Mommy, I want to help you make the cake. And she's like, oh, come on, can't you just let me do this right inside? Because she knows it's going to take 10 times longer and be 10 times harder if he helps her. But she remembers what the mentor said. And so they start doing it. And all of a sudden, they're having a great time. And she happens to notice that the cake looks like a 5-year-old made it. But then after the birthday party the next day, where he's telling everybody about how him and Mommy made this cake together and how come see my cake. And then she notices that the cake plate is now empty. It looks just like a professional had made it and everyone ate it, right? And she recognizes that the best present she could have given this 5-year-old was the ability to contribute to his own birthday cake. And now that sounds like a cheap little story, but it's really deep if you think about it. How often do we want to empower an employee and we say, here, Janine, I'm going to give you this task. And then I'm going to stay right in your face. And then I'm going to keep my fingers in it. And then I'm going to say, no, don't do this. Don't do that. You know, do this, do that, do this. And then Janine wishes you never gave her that job. Instead, what I do is I say, here you go. Well, what do you mean? Here I go. Here you go. So we're going to show you the first time. If you really need to show it to me after you do it the first time, the third time, that's it. It's yours. And what you're doing there is you're teaching something. You're teaching two people that you trust them. You're teaching Janine that you trust her. You know what? You're better at this than I am. Just do it. And you're also teaching yourself that you trust yourself. Because if I give you a task and I just let you run with it, I'm instinctively telling myself, I trust myself to fix whatever mess you might create. And I'm gonna tell you a secret. I learned that completely by accident because I hated schedules. And I had this woman named Brenda who loved scheduling. And so I had her scheduling the whole pharmacy. And she really wanted me to check it out. And I hated schedules so much, I didn't even want to look at it. I said, nope, this is your schedule. You do it. You take care of it. Well, two things happened. Number one is, yeah, there were some times where we were short and sometimes where we had more people than others, but the end of the world didn't happen. And then Brenda felt so proud and she felt so empowered that she could run this whole schedule by herself. And then an interesting thing happened. My employer opened up a position where they needed a person to schedule all the pharmacists in northern Wisconsin. They gave her that job and about an $8 raise. And what was so funny was they bucked me every time I told them that Brenda did my schedule until they realized that they needed someone to do that for them. And so by letting her teach herself this skill, we've grown her exponentially. We've taken something that I can't stand and that took up several hours. And what we allowed ourselves to do then is to focus on the things that we do really well. And so this is something that Darren Hardy, the publisher of Success Magazine, taught me about mental health, is that you can only do one, two, or possibly three things at a world-class level. But most of us, especially women, are trying to do 15 things at a world-class level. And then beating the snot out of themselves when they fail at some of those things. Instead, focus on those few things that really, really matter to you. Get rid of everything else. And what you'll find is that you can do some things that'll make you really, really proud. So for example, Tiger Woods, amazing golfer, right?
Absolutely.
Can he bake a cake? Who knows? Who cares?
Interesting to find out. It'd be an interesting challenge.
Right.
Somebody versus the bakers.
Right on. And even it was funny. One of my brothers emailed and then my other brother picked up on it. He said, how can these professional golfers hit the green every time? And he says they practice 8 hours a day, every day. They hit 500 balls every day. So what is it that you, health fix listeners, what is it that you could be really good at if you'd stop doing all the things that you hate just because you feel guilty? Guilt is imaginary. You know what you should feel really guilty of? You're cheating the world of your most amazing talent by trying to steal everybody's approval and everybody's appreciation, and you can't do it. Because no matter what it is, no matter what it is, some people won't think what you're doing is great. Most people will be jealous, and almost everybody doesn't have time to care.
So, so true. And I'm just learning this, really. I think this is a really good point that you bring up for the HealthFix listeners, is really focusing on the things that you love to do, letting the other things go. I'll tell everybody a quick little story about myself just so that we can kind of bring it all full circle. I didn't like posting on social media. I, in fact, don't like it at all. I don't like graphic design to make things look pretty. In fact, you can tell from behind me, I don't decorate well either. And so I just went to and got somebody to help me out with posting. And you know what? It took a huge, huge load off me, to the point where I was like, oh, I feel so great. I love writing. I write all my own content for my posts, but I just couldn't get to the point. It would take me hours just to put things on social media. So taking that load off myself, I feel like I've lost 10 years of my like weight on my body and just doing that. And so I think this is a great point for folks to really be looking at what they love and delegating what they don't.
I'm so proud of you for that, because that was a huge step for you. But look what you did. You gave your energy to something that you can do better. You gave a person a purpose and a job. And how can you do any more with your life that really matters? You know, for me, I don't like to mow. I don't like to shovel. So we've got a guy who does that for us. And so I have to pay him. So I'd rather work an extra hour at the pharmacy, which I love to do, and pay him to do the stuff I hate to do. We're also giving him a job. He's really great at it. So we're giving him that confidence boost. Wow, he gets to look at another lawn that he's made amazing, right? So what can you trim off your list, Health Fix listeners?
I want you guys to be to writing this down right now. I absolutely think everybody should be writing this down, because like I said, it's saved big time for me. And I know that Corey definitely has had some success in this department. So Corey, they write this down. They find out they've got some things they need to delegate to work on creating their life they want. Now, what's their next step with you? How do they get to interacting with the Successful Thinker podcast and your platform? What should they do next?
Well, the best way is to go to thesuccessfulthinker.com. Okay. And then there's a link to get the Successful Thinker book for free. And one of the things I did with that is we wrote it into a short story that you can read in 2 hours, because I know your audience, my audience, are super, super busy. And what I wanted to do was create 7 simple steps that anyone could do from a standpoint of, look, guys, I'm doing this every day. Janine is doing this every day, right? So we get it. This isn't theory. This isn't conjecture. These are 7 simple things that work. And one of them is, like, for instance, the law of the heart, which says, look, the more you care about people, the more people you'll have in your life to care about. The corporate world would have you believe that you can't care about your employees or your associates or your coworkers, because then you'll lose control. The funny part is, in real life, if you don't care about your coworkers, your subordinates, your colleagues, there's no control to lose, because no one's listening to anything you say. What you get is what Stephen Covey called forced compliance. But what if you could surround yourself with a bunch of willing participants who really want to make not just your work, but your life the best it could possibly be? And I think if you read this book, what it does is it shows Cynthia that maybe the way she thinks about her world is wrong. And one of the things that I really want to say to people is that one of the things that saved my life was just questioning almost every thought. Is it real? Just because you think it doesn't mean it's real. And everybody thinks things that no one else should ever hear. But if you want to get your brain back, if you want to get healthy, you got to start throwing out all the garbage that people have told you in your life. And the Successful Thinker will help you see why you can do that. And most importantly, I think, why it's okay to do that. You're nobody's indentured servant. You don't owe anybody the right to tell you how to live your life. You don't owe your spouse that. You don't owe your kids that. You don't owe your parents that. Who you owe, if you owe anybody, is the world, with your ability to create meaning and magic at that thing that only you are born to do. So one thing I was just thinking, and I know that you've been through this as a podcast host, is so many of us feel trapped in this life that we're in. But when you started interviewing people, aren't you just fascinated by how many different cool things people have found to be able to do in this world?
Absolutely. Yeah, I had no idea that folks, you know, could make a living coaching. You know, what, 10 years ago, it wasn't something that was even on my radar. And now, yeah, all of the things in terms of the interviews, it's very impressive. All of the different niches folks have in which providing care for us, for all of us. It's cool.
Right. So the idea that because I'm a pharmacist today, I have to die a pharmacist? Ludicrous. In fact, reality states that most professions that are around right now probably weren't around 30 years ago. And in another 30 years, it'll be a whole different thing. So create your own life, create your own world, create something that makes you feel like you. I love this question, Janine. Who would you be if nobody told you who you are?
Wow. That's a deep one.
And the only thing you can do really is to take some time away from everyone else, shut the door and ask yourself, you know, it's okay to be, you know, other than like a serial killer or a sociopath, it's okay to say, you know what? I was wrong. I thought I wanted to be a doctor and it didn't work out. I thought I wanted to be a pharmacist. And for some people, it's the wrong thing. Or I just want to say this quick. There are all kinds of pharmacists you could be. I currently am a retail pharmacist. It's what I love. It's what I live for. But I actually got fired from a hospital job that I had. I was a terrible hospital pharmacist. I got along great with people, but I just didn't have that clinical mentality that you need to be a great clinical pharmacist. So sometimes it might be just, am I in the right version of the right profession for me? Mm-hmm. And the biggest question of all is, what am I waiting for? Because if you're waiting for someday for someone to come in and rescue your life, I got news for you. No one's coming. And I had to learn that myself until I said, okay, things stop right now. This old version of me is dead. A new version of me begins right now. My life sucked. And my life sucked because I sucked and because my philosophy sucked. But my life is wonderful now because I don't do anything I don't enjoy. And I surround myself with people I enjoy. And it's funny because when you do that, all of a sudden the people that you think you don't enjoy, you're able to enjoy them more because you're not latched onto that guilt and worry and fear and self-doubt and all that stuff. And the more you can take care of yourself and your physical health and your mental health, the more you'll have an ability to do that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh my goodness. Wow, Corey, lots of good stuff for folks to think about. I think we've got I'm going to go back through and write down a list, everybody, in the podcast notes and drjkrausnd.com, where we will have the successfulthinker.com there for you to explore as well. But I think we got to write down all of those great thoughts folks want to explore. And if you're exploring these thoughts and you want some guidance, Corey, how can folks work directly with you to have more guidance along the way?
Well, the thing that is really important to me is that people get help. And sometimes people can't afford it. So just email me. Start with Corey@CoreyJenke.com. That's my best email address. And ask me a question. When you go to the successfulthinker.com, there's a tab you can click to schedule a 30-minute virtual cup of coffee with me. I want to find out how I can help you. I don't want to find out how I can charge you. So many people won't get help because they're too afraid of what it will cost them. Do you know what it will cost you? It will cost you valuable time that you could be spending with the people that you really care about. It could be costing you to not take action way more than it would ever cost you to spend 30 minutes talking to me or Janine or somebody that says, you know what, it's okay. Now let's look at some solutions. One of the things that I want to tell you is I've lost the ability to empower people to keep on this negative path. What's the word enable? Mm-hmm. For a long time, I was an enabler because my heart really wants you to be happy. And then I learned I can't help you if I don't tell you the truth. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the truth is unpleasant, but nowhere near as unpleasant as the life some people are living.
Yep. Yep. That is so huge. And sometimes we just need to hear the truth. And I think that's one of the best gifts that you can give someone versus enabling or you know, going along with the same story. Wow.
And I would just say that I think one of the questions that people should ask themselves is, do I want to get better? Sometimes people think that being a victim has its rewards. And guys, be done being a victim. The rewards suck. Be somebody who's out there championing your own happiness, your own success, your family's pride, and really, really become a successful thinker. Because what will happen is things will open up for you that you can't even think are possible right now. One step at a time. You don't have to ascend the entire staircase. You just have to take that first step. So as we talked about, go to the successful thinker and do something. Get the book, email me, set up an appointment, do something, but don't stay stuck. Stuck sucks. Both Janine and I can tell you over and over lots of stories about how stuck sucks. She's not going to stay there. I'm not going to stay there. So come along with us. How's that sound?
Oh, I love it. Yes. Join us on the successful thinking journey and wow, just it'll blow your mind. Folks, I really do highly recommend checking out Corey's stuff. Corey, thank you so much for coming on and giving so many thought-provoking thoughts for my listeners.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. I really, really want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak with you.
Anytime, anytime.
Guess what? I have a sponsor for my podcast. It's the High Country Lodge in Breckenridge, Colorado. You can find them online at ahighcountrylodge.com. Beautiful place, can fit up to 40 people. And they have a beautiful deck, hot tub, game room in the basement, tons of trails all around. They are a quick couple-minute drive over to Breckenridge Ski Resort, couple-minutes drive down to downtown. It is a great location. And the owner also offers catering. So you don't have to do anything. This is a really easy vacation to put together. Now, I have personal experience with the High Country Lodge. I love this place. The owners are my friends, and I've been there so many times, I could tell you all about it. So if you want to know, you can message me directly, and I will let you all in on the secrets of the High Country Lodge. And I highly hope that you check it out at ahighcountrylodge.com.
Hey, Health Junkies, Dr. Janine Krause here. I hope you enjoyed my podcast. Guess what? I have a Facebook group. It's called Anti-Aging Health Tips with Dr. Janine Krause. So if you want a little bit more of the Health Fix podcast, head over to my Facebook group and let's chat. Now, I'm also offering a health transformation and restoration program. It's a one-on-one with me. And it's for folks who are sick and tired of going to doc after doc and health coach after health coach and not seeing the results that they want and deserve. In my program, I'm working with folks with transformation. So this isn't just a light program. This is a big deal. I'm going to change how you think about your health and your life kind of program. And I'm super excited to offer it to folks. And if you are at all interested, we should talk. I'm offering 45 minutes free with me chatting to see if and how I can help you. And you can get all the details over at my website, drjkrausend.com. All right. You've survived another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause. Have a great day, whatever you're doing.
Subscribe, rate, and share info.